Today on Real Radio.
There's a lot of faith in that statement, isn't there? What is she saying? You are the one. If you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. That's a lot of faith, isn't it? Though she's criticizing him, she looks to him and she says, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Is she hurt? Yes. Is it like a child who's frustrated and throws themselves on your chest and is pounding on your chest and then finally begins to break down and cry? Exactly. You ever been there?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John. We're in a sub-series as we take a look at chapter 11 and verses 17 through 29. It's called Jesus is the Resurrection and the Life. And of course, the context is where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
And if you were here last time together, you remember that Lazarus was sick. So Martha and Mary, they send news to Jesus, and he's about some 20 miles away, down in Bethabara, along the Jordan River. Now, Bethany was right near Jerusalem, and so it's about a 20-mile distance. We'll be making that distance next month. You'll see that distance. And so the runner takes off. The messenger goes and comes to Jesus and makes the announcement. But we know from the scripture that Lazarus dies. Jesus waits. Lazarus is now dead and entombed. Jesus comes, and we pick up where our study left off last time together in verses 17 to 29, where there the scripture says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been dead in the tomb some 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way secretly and called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist of early America. Probably Dwight L. Moody has been the most effective evangelist in the United States outside of Mr. Graham and the work that he's done. Dwight L. Moody, a great, great preacher of the word. Dwight L. Moody said, concerning this chapter of the Bible, you cannot turn to any verse here and find any good help as a minister on how to conduct a funeral. He said, in fact, for that matter, you can't go anywhere in the Bible to learn how to conduct the funeral. He went on to say that every time Jesus shows up at a funeral, he ruins the whole affair. I love that. It's good news to us because the Bible teaches us that death is really man's greatest opponent. We fear death more than anything. Jesus comes on the scene and absolutely shatters the power of the grave. And yet built within every man, there's this question about eternity, life, and death. That very curious spirit is found in the oldest book in the world. By the way, the oldest book in the world happens to be found in your Bible, the book of Job. Oldest book in recorded human history. In the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 14, Job says, "If a man dies, shall he live again? And all the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes." Job believed in God resurrecting the dead. The oldest book of the Bible. We'll hear a little bit more from Job in a minute as we go through our study. But the fact of the matter is, as we look to this book, we are considering here in this chapter that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. One of the most endearing scriptures of the believer. We often quote it. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. In our study together, and you might want to jot this down, our first point, we'll see three of them this morning. Our first point is this, that Jesus Christ being the resurrection and the life, we learn this in verses 17 to 20, and that is that God is the God of all comfort. The God of the Bible that we love and that we know, that Jesus Christ has come and revealed himself to us. He's the God of all comfort. We need to know this. How so? In verse 17, we see that his comfort goes beyond the grave. And that's good news. God is the God of all comfort, and his comfort goes beyond the grave. That's how Jesus is able to retrieve those who have died. His comfort extends beyond the grave. The Bible teaches us that we as believers, that when somebody that we love, if they die, that we are not to sorrow without hope. Note the fine print. Is it wrong to sorrow? No, by all means, sorrow. You're human. Weep, cry, that's okay. But don't weep and don't cry without hope. That hope is sure, as we'll see as we go through this study. We can have hope. The believer doesn't cry or doesn't weep without hope. Why? Because God extends his comfort beyond the grave. It says, so when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Note this, not 3 days, not 5 days. Why 4 days? Hey, Bible students, you should always get into the habit of asking why when it comes to the scripture. Why is this man's name mentioned? Why 4 days? Why that city? Why? And that's how you'll learn, by asking why. God wants you to pursue him that way. Lord, why did you say this to those that were standing near you? My goodness, my friend, if you ever find the Bible boring, ask yourself why regarding this, a portion of scripture, and then hang on to your seat. Because if you pursue that why, you will find out much more than the average bear. You'll be happy. This is how Bible study begins. That's why the Holy Spirit place that there. 4 days. Why 4 days? Because interestingly enough, according to Jewish belief and early church teachings, it was the fourth day that in that culture, in that world, remember, they didn't embalm, nor do they. The embalming process is that of Egyptian origin and pagan. Embalming was to prepare you for the afterlife. Well, as Christians or Judeo-Christians or Jews or Christians, we don't believe that. But we're caught up in the tradition, and so we do that, and there's nothing wrong with that, and that's fine. They didn't do that then. They attempted in that they put spices and ointments and perfumes on the body. Why? To protect the body against the fourth day. The Jews taught, and the Christians experienced to be true as well in the early church, that the fourth day was the day that was obvious that decay began to set in. It was the fourth day. It was the fourth day that became the most horrific to the families. Even in many of the tombs, if you were wealthy, you had a deep-seated tomb. But if you were not wealthy, it was not uncommon to smell on the fourth day that death had come. It overwhelmed them. And Jesus comes on the scene and shatters that horrible power of the grave. That's good news. The fourth day. Jesus comes on the fourth day. Why did he wait to arrive on the fourth day? Answer, because it was the fourth day. The fourth day is very important. It was the day that the announcement was made by the things of nature and roundabout. This man is dead. Apparently there's no hope. He's gone. It's over. And so Jesus comes on the fourth day. Have you noticed Jesus often comes in your life and in my life on the fourth day? Why not the third day? On the fourth day, he comes and visits us with his healing, with his touch, on the fourth day. Now, listen, Jesus and his actions were well known. They knew what he had taught. They knew what he had done. But all of a sudden now it comes home. It's personal. And jot this verse down. It's Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 35. Jesus is faithful to ruin a good funeral. The Bible tells us there that the attendant or the supervisor of this house of worship there had lost this young child. And Jesus tells him in verse 36 of Mark chapter 5 to only believe. Only believe. And Jesus would heal this child. And when Jesus came to that scene where that dead child was, everybody's mourning and crying. Have you seen CNN? I'm serious. Have you seen CNN when there's a death in either Israel or Gaza or somewhere around there? Have you seen them on TV crying? They're crying, and there's all kinds of people crying, and many of them striking themselves with grief. And rarely will you see tears. Why? I'm not saying the family's not mourning with tears. That's not what I'm saying. But in that culture, you hire mourners even today. Did you know that? If you love somebody a lot, you buy a lot of mourners. There's actually people you rent to come and wail at a funeral. I am not kidding. Many people you'll see on CNN when the body's going down the street. I've seen this. Oh, I take a Pepsi. I'm serious. They're hired mourners. It's a compliment. We don't get it in our culture. It's like, how rude. How cold is that? The bigger the noise, the more the lament, the more the person was loved. It's the message that is sent. Jesus in Mark chapter 5, when he shows up on the scene, they're all weeping and crying. And Jesus says, hey, what are you crying about? Now, when you're God and human flesh and you know what you're about to do, you can say things like that at a funeral. What are you crying about? They probably thought, what is he, nuts? And Jesus says, the child's not dead, just sleeping. And it says in the Bible that they laughed him to scorn. They laughed him. You crazy? They're laughing. Jesus says, get out. Oh, I'd love to have seen that. I wish I could hear him say it. You know. Did he speak in Old King James? Get thee out. Get thee hence. Out they go. Jesus brings in Peter, James, and John. It's always Peter, James, and John. Always Peter, James, and John. That's the special ed class. That's why they're always three of them together. The rest of the guys are standing outside. Peter, James, John, you guys need this. Come on in here. He brings the three of them in. Then he brings in the mom and dad. And they take Jesus to the dead child. And Jesus takes hold of the dead child's hand. Hello? He's Jewish. You're not allowed to do that unless you're God and you're going to raise somebody from the dead. Then what does it matter? To Jesus and his power, it's as though the child's sleeping. What's the difference? But to the parents, this child's dead. Jesus says to the little girl, Talithi kumi. Little girl, arise. And the Bible says she sat up and stood up. And Jesus says, don't tell anybody about this, you guys. Quiet. Not a word. And I love how practical he is. He turns to the parents and he says, somebody feed her. Give her some food. Isn't that wonderful? And it says there that Jesus presented the child to the parents. It's awesome. In Luke's gospel, chapter 7, verse 11, there's the widow of Nain. The Bible says that Jesus was coming into the town, and at the city gate, there was a procession of mourners coming out, a large crowd of people. And there the Bible says that a son, a child of an only woman who was a widow, her son had died. And the Bible says that as they brought him out, Jesus stopped the crowd. And Jesus laid his hand upon that young man and raised him up from the dead. And it says that Jesus presented that young man back to his mother again, alive. That's awesome. I wish I had the power this week to have done that. Where here in this church, a widow this week lost her only son. And I talked to her on the phone. And you know when you're, you know, the shock of it, it's just happened. I called her within moments after his death. And, you know, you call and she answers the phone. Hello. Sounds normal. I said, hi, this is Pastor Jack. and the weeping and the tears and the crying. And what do you say, you know? Nothing to say. You mean you were at a loss for words? Jack, yeah, I was at a loss for words. What do you say? She loved the Lord. She loves the Lord. She's a servant here at this church. She's a regular fixture. She's been here since almost the beginning of this church. What do you say? And her son was killed. Both men. I did her husband's funeral a couple years ago, and now her son. And she's alone. Not really. She has us. She has Jesus. What do you think this woman in Luke chapter 7 thought? She's taking her son to the grave. Jesus comes on the scene and ruins the whole thing wonderfully. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God beyond the grave. He's not only that, but verses 18 to 20 teach us that his comfort is beyond understanding. And I'm glad about that. The Bible says he also gives us a peace that passes all understanding. He's the God who brings comfort beyond all understanding. In verse 19 we read, and it says that many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them. In other words, they're all wailing and crying to bring that comfort. And that's all you can do sometimes. They're wailing and crying. My friend, human efforts to comfort at a devastating time like this is really just a kind attempt by any of us. Do you know that? I mean, let's be honest. What could I say to Joanne? My attempts were kind at best. No power to it. It's at a time like this when you have to have God. What do you do without God? I know what you do without God. You get drunk, you go tank it up. I don't know what you do. You get violent, you go crazy. I don't know. You lose control. But they're trying to comfort Martha and Mary concerning their brother. Verse 20 says, then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But note this, Mary stayed in the house. She's sitting in the house. Mary stays, Martha runs. It's just like their personalities. Mary sits. You always find Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. And now she's learned to sit again. Though he's not there, she's sitting down. Martha, she takes off and she's going to meet Jesus head on. I'm a Martha. I would have been running alongside Martha. Let's go, Martha. Some of you are Marys. Both of these actions are beautiful. One's not greater than the other. It's how people show grief. Martha goes running. She's a doer, you know. Let's get it done. Let's go. All right, Jesus. She's got some words for him, you know. And as soon as Martha heard, it says that she went running. Why? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulations. Are you going through one of those right now? He's going to comfort you. That we may be able to comfort those who are being troubled with the comfort wherewith he has comforted us. Are you a Christian this morning? Just like the world, you and I will go through difficulties and hardships and trials. You're not going to be exempt. Don't think you're going to be exempt. If you're a non-Christian this morning, say, well, I'm not going to sign up to be a Christian because I don't want that tribulation stuff. Let me encourage you. You're going to have tribulation, period. But I would much rather go through the difficulties of this life with Jesus than without him. And so the Bible says, for us who suffer, we get equipped that we can comfort others who suffer. In Psalm 71, 21, the Bible says, you will give me greater honor than before, and turn again and comfort me. That's the psalmist's cry. Lord, turn again and comfort me. Psalm 119, verse 75, the psalmist says, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right. God, I know that all of your decisions are correct and true. You see, beyond understanding. But that your faithfulness, and by it, you've comforted me. God is faithful. God is faithful. And all of the stuff you're going through, God's faithful. Did you lose somebody you love? God's faithful. Can we understand it? We cannot understand it. There comes a time in our lives when we just can't nail it down. We don't have the answer. And it's times like that when our faith finally is put to the test, because nobody can comfort us but God only. Christian, listen to this. There will come a time in your life, and it may come from time to time, when God will see to it that no one can comfort you. No one. Your friends will come and they've got Bibles in both arms. They've got a cross around their neck. Their knees are calloused from praying, and they'll come, and it's almost as though their words are idle to you. They're not failing you. God has engineered that He's stripping all things away that you might hear from God and God alone. And God sends difficulties into our lives that we might understand the fact that His comfort extends beyond the grave. His comfort is beyond understanding. He's the God of all comfort. He's so good. Our second point this morning is in verses 21 to 25. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that He's the God of all life. He is the God of all life. The Bible makes that very clear in John chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. Makes it very clear. But when we say here in verses 21 to 25 that He's the God of all life, you need to ask this question. Who is the God of all life? You're going to see here that it's Jesus Christ. Listen, when He says of Himself, and He's going to say it in a moment, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you understand the magnitude of what He's saying? I am the source of not only life itself, but if a man dies, I am his resurrection. If a man dies, I will lift him again from the grave because I am the resurrection. That's awesome. He's the God of all life. How so? Well, Jesus represents life, verses 21 to 22. Martha knows that. It says in verse 21, then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. It's my opinion that Martha here is the most picture-perfect example of a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. You don't have to admit it. I'm going to admit it for you because you and I are exactly alike. When we can't figure things out and when things have hit us upside the head, we often come to God and say, if you would have been here, this would have happened. We all say it. We all question Him. It's not a rude thing. It's not a mean thing. Even in her criticism of Jesus, there's a lot of faith in that statement, isn't there? What is she saying? You are the one. If you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. That's a lot of faith, isn't it? Though she's criticizing Him, she looks to Him and she says, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Is she hurt? Yes. Is it like a child who's frustrated and throws themselves on your chest and is pounding on your chest and then finally begins to break down and cry? Exactly. Have you ever been there? I've been there too often to say.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, admitting that he was in the difficult situation of thinking that God's timing was not perfect. And haven't we all been there? It's a study called Jesus is the Resurrection and the Life, and it's actually part of a sub-series of studies by this very title. And we'll have to pick up with more on our next edition of Real Radio as we continue to look through John chapter 11 and verses 17 through 29. Now, meanwhile, you can get in touch with us either by phone, which is area code 909-393-7100, or you can visit us at realradioactive.org. And in fact, you can be a subscriber to our podcast of Real Radio at no charge. Again, that's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you do prefer calling us, again, our phone number is area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Now remember that Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue because of your continued support. So prayerfully consider how much you can contribute, either as a one-time gift or as a continuing partner. Here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.